Psalms 119, verse 161. Well, I'm thankful for the Lord's blessing, and I'm thankful for the tracts that we sent out. Isn't it a blessing to see the fruit from that? And to see that lady come back this morning, that's a wonderful blessing, amen. And just keep on praying that God will work on hearts, and that we'll continue to see people, continue to invite people. And I know sometimes it's hard because you have people reject you and they don't want to hear it, but you just keep on doing what God wants you to do. And the reality is, what a blessing it will be when we meet Him, amen, of you and I being faithful to Him. And I ask the Lord to help us and forgive us of times when we're not. Psalms 119, let me go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then I'll go through this. Lord, thank you again for this day, and thank you again for the opportunity to preach. And I pray that you'd help me with this message. I pray that it would be an encouragement to us. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit would have His will and His way in our hearts. Keep our heads around us, keep us safe. And thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Look here at Psalms 119 in verse 161. Princes, the word princes, it refers to as those in authority, right? Could it be, kings, it could be others that have authority. He says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Here is David, and it's a constant theme as you go through Psalms 119. It's about the love of God's word. And we could see the persecution came about without a cause. There wasn't something that David did to cause these people of authority to go against him. David wasn't causing problems for this. The reason he was persecuted because of his love for God, his love for God's word. And because he loved God, because he loved God's word, there are always going to be people out there that will try to squash that, to try to destroy that. Can I tell you, this world hates God. This world hates God. And when you, a lot of times in this world, and to break that down, most people in this world would say they love God, right? You think about the Muslims, they'll say they love God. Hindus will say they love God. Catholics will say they love God. But when you tell them how you can have a relationship with God, you think about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not trusting in anything else, then that's where the problem starts. When you tell people of Jesus and He is the only way to go to heaven, and you can't trust in yourself, your works, then that's where the persecution starts. How dare you to say, how dare you to be narrow-minded? How dare you to say those in third world countries can't go to heaven? No, they can. They need to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And what we could see is David was being persecuted by those in authority because of his faith in God. The reality is they were probably trying to quiet David. Persecution, what it is you are convicting someone. It's the Holy Spirit using you, and it's bringing someone under conviction, and they don't like it. They don't like that feeling because they love their sin. They want to continue in their sin, and you are convicting them of something they're doing, and they want to continue on. And the reality is when they get so convicted from that, they'll act up. They may speak out. We're in a day and age now where it seems a little bit more violent. We see it overseas. But even in America's society, we're starting to see more and more of that where people act out. There's been more where they say people that are quote-unquote trans or just people have mental problems and they need help. They need God. And the reality is they hate Christians. There was a girl that was confused. She wanted to be a boy and she went into that Christian school and shot him up. That guy that recently, I think he was just homosexual and he was with someone. I don't know what their problems are. They just had a lot of problems. But he assassinated Charlie Kirk that was there. Why? Because of what he was saying as a Christian. Folks, can I tell you, you're always going to see this. But the reality is they try to quiet us. They try to stop us, right? They want to get rid of us. But the amazing thing is David wasn't fearful of them. He says, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. That word awe is defined as a fear mingled with admiration or reverence. Right? It's just like, wow. But it has a fear that's mingled with admiration or reverence. Amen? David had a fear of God. David believed God's word. David knew God's word was true. And he had a fear for this. Not for those that were persecuting him. Now again, it's not saying that David didn't have times of weakness and David wasn't scared, because we could see in Scripture that he was. But the reality is he loved God's word. And can I tell you, when we are right with God, we're in the center of God's will, and we're doing what's right, we'll know God's in control. God is in control. God is the one that has the final say. Amen? It's a wonderful blessing. Amen? God is good all the time. And the reality is we should have this love for God. And when we look at His word, be in awe. I always enjoy reading the book of Esther. I know what's going to happen every single time in the book of Esther, but I enjoy reading it. Amen? Why is that? Because I see God working to save Mordecai. It's a wonderful blessing. And when I see that, I'm just in awe, right? It's just like, whoa, you know, look what God did. Amen? And you see what God did for Esther. And then sometimes you look and you see what God does for Israel. Then you read in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, and you see what God does for Israel to make sure she doesn't get wiped out. And sometimes you'll just read that and you'll be in awe. It's like, whoa. You know, this world wants to wipe out the Jewish people, to destroy them. In the United States, we used to be a Judeo-Christian nation. We surely left that. But you think about it, in the United States, there's people now that are speaking so bad about the Jewish people and want to wipe them out. New York City, they have protested, which is amazing to me. There's a good population of Jewish people that's in New York City. But you think about all these people that are protesting. They hate the Jewish people. Folks, why is that? You think about it, how big this world is. Why? This little group of people. Why is it? Because they're God's people. The devil hates them. And the devil in his mind is probably thinking, if I wipe out every single Jewish person, wipe them out, then that means God's word can't come about. We can be in awe. The reality is it doesn't matter. You know, if Hitler would have did other things, if he'd have went to different people, the reality is, yes, God would still brought judgment. But he went for the Jewish people. That was so stupid. Amen? You don't go against the Jewish people. Amen? Now again, God will judge them. But anyway, we could stand in awe of His word. He goes on and says here in verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Now that word spoil, there's different definitions that you can look for. But a lot of times you think about it, it's the wealth, material things that you get after a battle. You may be in a battle, and as you're in a battle, you know, you take, right? I think Israel, when they left Egypt, they took of those people. It was kind of like taking their the spoils that are there. It's wealth. And here it is. David is talking about someone finding a great spoil. Can you imagine? You're out in your backyard, and as you're out in their backyard, and you know, maybe for whatever reason you had that metal detector out there, and as you had that metal detector, it starts beeping and it starts going really crazy. And then you dig up, and as you dig up in your backyard, you found a huge treasure of gold coins. Huge treasure of gold coins. Amen? You found other things that are there, crowns or whatever. Someone buried it, and it's in your yard, and they say, yes, it's yours. Uncle Sam will come around and tax you on it, you rest assured. But anyway, you find all, you'd be like, whoa, pay off my debt. I'd be able to give to God. Wouldn't have to work. You know, there'd be people that would say, rejoice. I'd be nice. I'd be happy if I found some gold that I wouldn't have to work, you know, outside of the pastorate. But David describes of someone finding that, it was like, whoa, you know, look at this, what I find. David says that I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Why? Because of what this Bible is. How precious this Bible is. Amen? It rejoiced David's heart. Because this Bible is real. It speaks to our heart. It leads us. It guides us. It keeps us away from things we shouldn't do. And it points us in directions of ways that we should go. There are so many wonderful promises that's in the scripture. Matter of fact, I'll read a promise that's in this scripture that's just wonderful. Amen. When you think about it. But you think about it, there's a verse in 2 Peter 1:4. It says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceeding great and precious promises. Do you ever think about this? Bible is filled with promises. God has given you promises. God promised as a believer, he will never leave thee. That song we sang this morning, and almost tried to sing it again tonight, but you're correct. It means that no, it's number 97. God leads us along. God never leaves you alone. Amen. God's always there. It's a promise from God. I am so thankful God promised that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. God promised always to help me. That doesn't mean I'll be eating steak. Amen. We went to Sam's Club. I can't remember. It was a few weeks ago, I think. We went to Sam's Club. I looked at the price of steaks. They looked so good. But I didn't want to trade in my car for them. Amen. I mean, it was like 50, 60 bucks for like three or four steaks. And I was like, whoa, that is way too much. Amen. But God promised to provide. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of us. Amen. God will provide. Amen. May not be steaks, but it'll be some good old hot dogs or something, or beans or lasagna. Amen. We had lasagna. Praise the Lord. That was good stuff. Amen. But anyway, what do we see here? David is talking about how God's word rejoices his heart. Do you get excited? Baseball last night, they had the World Series, and the Dodgers won again, right? They won 2 years in a row. First time, I think, in 20-some years that the Dodgers won. I didn't stay up and watch it. I don't have a television, like cable to watch. I have a television, but I don't have cable to watch it. So I didn't watch the game. And afterwards, I saw some highlights. I think this morning, I saw some highlights. And they were all excited. I can imagine, you know, the baseball players that we're living for. And they won the World Series. They were all excited and jumping up and doing all these things. That excitement that brought to them, they were rejoicing. But you know, it's over. And that excitement is going to be gone. And now they're going to look for... Can I tell you, when you think about God, and you have the Word of God that can rejoice the heart, it never has to leave. Amen? Because we always have it. Those truths, those promises are true. I mean, you think about who won the World Series 5 years ago? Most people don't know. 10 years ago? I don't know, right? 50? Why? It comes and goes. But can I tell you, here he talks about, I rejoice that thy word is one findeth great spoil. He goes on and says this, because he loved God, because he loves God's word, he says, I hate and abhor lying. It's disgusting to me. He hates it. But thy law do I love. Because David loved the very words of God. Because David loved God. David hated lying. You know, God hates lying. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6. God hates lying. Look here. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, God does not hate you, but God hates sin. Look here in Proverbs chapter 6. So whenever you have someone that says, it's impossible to say you love me and then hate my sin. No. Well, no. God loves the world. God hates sin. Look here in Proverbs chapter 6 in verse 16. These six things doeth the Lord hate. God hates this, right? It's disgusting to him. Yea, seven are abomination unto him, right? It'd be kind of like puking, ugh, gross. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that spreadeth lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. One of those things that were mentioned in there is a lying tongue. God hates that. Can I tell you, as Christians, we should not lie. We should be honest. Now, you can have some tact when you're talking to people, and you don't have to answer every single question. Sometimes you can just take it. Someone can ask the question or say things to you. You don't have to respond. Sometimes the best response is not saying anything at all. Jesus did that, right? When there were people trying to get him to condemn that woman, he just wrote in the ground that was there. And then he responded to them and convicted them. But in Proverbs, look over here to chapter 12. In chapter 12, down here, verse 22. Proverbs 12, verse 22. The Bible says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. You think about it, God wants us to be honest. Honest people. There was a day when I could shake someone's hand and say that was it. I would be over there and say, hey, Mark, I'll sell you this, my lawnmower, for $10, and we would shake on it. And you know what? That meant something, right? And still does for people that are honest. What? That handshake. Well, today, it's what? I'll sell it to you for $10, but let's sign up a contract and make sure everything's dotted lines. And the lawyer comes in. The lawyer tries to still find loophole. And even though you have a contract that's signed, what is it? They'll still break the contract. Amen? And that's not right. Amen? But anyway, what do we see here? God loves those that deal truly. Amen? But what is the other? Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. God doesn't want his children to lie. Amen? We should be honest people. When we tell someone, we should mean it. Look over here to chapter 13 and verse 5. A righteous man hateth lying, and a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Right? A righteous man. Why? Because you think about what lying does. Look over here to the book of Proverbs chapter 26. In Proverbs 26, you think about when you lie, look at what the Bible says here. Proverbs 26, verse 28. Proverbs 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Here it is. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. If you really care for someone, you're going to tell them the truth. You're not going to lie to them. And if you're lying to someone, the reality is you really don't care for them, right? That's what gets under my skin when you have someone that's lost and they die. And then you have people who say, oh, it's so much better for them. No, it's not. If they were lost, they're in hell. A lot of times I won't say anything, right? I just won't respond. I won't say anything. Or I will say, if they know the Lord as their Savior, you know, you're right. They would be in heaven, right? But I won't, because the reality is that that's not helping anyone. One of the hardest things to do as a pastor is to preach a funeral service of someone who was lost. It's the hardest thing in the world. Because the reality is, I can't give someone that assurance, right? Even though I could do it if someone is saved, I don't know their heart. But I can't say, so-and-so accepted the Lord as their Savior, and if they truly believe, they're in heaven, right? I can, you know? But I don't say, because I don't know. Maybe they did accept the Lord as their Savior. Your loved one is in hell, right? Suffering right now. I don't say that, but I just don't say anything, amen, about it, because I don't know where they are. But I could tell them, you know, the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ, amen? Folks, can I tell you, we need to be honest people. The Bible even tells us in the book of Ephesians, look over here at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 about lying. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 25. So let me go back to verse 24 so you can see the contents. Ephesians 4, verse 24. that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's talking about believers, right? Because a lost person can't put on the new man, right? They're not saved. And what's he saying here about us as believers? Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, and speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, Christians can lie. And the reality is, if not, he wouldn't tell us this. What did he say? Get rid of it. Put it off, right? Maybe before you got saved, that's all you did was lie. I had a friend growing up, and he would lie about everything. It was everything. You know, a lie, then you have to try to remember it. You know? If you tell the truth, it's the truth, right? You don't have to. You just speak the truth. But he would. He would lie about everything. I shouldn't say everything, but it seemed like everything. But it would be, sometimes it would be like dumb stuff. And again, this is many years ago, and I can't remember the stuff, but I was just like, why'd you lie about that? You know, what are you doing? You know, it would be something stupid like, hey, what kind of ice cream did you eat? Chocolate? You know, he ate vanilla or something, right? It was just something that was like, why lie about that? You know, it's just like, it doesn't make sense to me, man. But anyway, maybe before you got saved, you lied all the time. God's saying, hey, put on the new man or put on the new lady, right? You think about it as being in the, what a new man would be. But you think about it as new person. What is he telling us here? Wherefore, putting away lying. Be honest. When you lie, go back and tell someone, I'm sorry. I said that and I shouldn't have said that, right? Be honest, right? Put on that new man, amen? Get rid of the old man, amen? The lying. Look back here to Psalms. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, look down here, verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Can I tell you the verse before he talks about he hates lying? So here it is in this verse. You know, he's speaking the truth. David made an effort seven times a day to praise God. Think about that, right? Giving God praise. Why? Because he loved God. He loved his word. He made an effort. God was on his mind. He was a king. I don't know if he was king here or king after, whatever time he was. I'm sure he had many things he was doing. But he made an effort seven different times a day. Folks, can I tell you, asked in our heart, I mean, do we spend time praising him? Thanking him? When you pray, the reality is you should spend some time praising him, thanking him. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? So you're praising him. It's the modeled prayer. Here it is, David made an effort. Do we praise the Lord? Do we thank him? Too many times we complain. Was that murmurings and disputing? Disputing is like fighting. Murmurings is complaining, right? God doesn't want us to complain, you know. Sometimes people complain about old things, right? It's raining outside. I don't like it to rain, right? But then what? God doesn't give us rain. It's dry outside. We got no rain, right? It's like they just complain about everything. And the sun is out, it's too hot. And then the cloud comes out, where's the sun? You know, you have some people, they just complain about everything, right? It's a horrible, amen? God doesn't want us to complain, right? Now, we have that sin nature, and that sin nature, what? Wants us to complain. That sin nature is saying, it's all about me, right? And God says, hey, that shouldn't be for us as believers. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. What are you complaining about? I mean, really, we are blessed. That verse that talks about, I wrote it down, copied and pasted it down. In Psalms 168:19, Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. That's in Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Think about that. Every single day, if you're saved, God doesn't just give you some benefits. You think about a cart, right? You think about what is that? I can't even think of what that's called. That you lift it up. Wheelbarrow. You think about a wheelbarrow, right? I had to think there for a moment. You think about a wheelbarrow, right? And let's say you had a wheelbarrow that you were holding here, right? And you take some blessings, right? Benefits. And let's say there's benefits with some rocks, right? And you just took a couple rocks and throw it in there. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you would take and fill that wheelbarrow up. Back to the word. What does he say here again? Who daily loadeth us with benefits. That wheelbarrow, which is your life, is filled. Your life is filled. God has blessed you every single day, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Why don't you stop complaining about the smallest little thing that goes wrong, the thing ain't working out, and you start thinking about that wheelbarrow that God said he has loadeth you up every single day and start thinking about those things. Amen? God has blessed your life. Your family, what we do every day, at least we try to do it, is we take time to read Scripture, we pray together, and at the end, we'll take a little time and just say what we're thankful for, what God has done for us, you know? And I do that as a dad, just try to remind us, what are you thankful for? And because if you really just think about every day, there's something new, right? There's something different that God has blessed you of, or something, you know, God has given us air to breathe, you know? Sometimes you won't appreciate things until your knee doesn't work like it should. And then you thank the Lord that, well, Lord, I know that hurts. And thank you that the other one doesn't hurt, right? Or, Lord, thank you that my back, it hurts, but it's not as bad as it could be. Or, Lord, thank you that I have a headache, but it's not as bad as it should be, right? Lord, I know my vision is not what it should be, probably because of my stupidity, not getting the glasses to get the bifocals put on there or whatever, but thankful I can see a little. Thank you for my hearing, amen. I mean, we are blessed. Thank you for the food that we can eat. Brother Fielder, when he would be up here and when he would pray, we would go out to Price Chopper. He loved Price Chopper. He loved going to eat their fish. If you haven't gone to Price Chopper, eat their fish. Their fried fish. Their fish is really good. Flaky. It's I don't know if they've changed it, but we would go there. We went there one night, and the next time I asked him, I said, hey, when you want to go to this place? He's like, you know, that fish was really good. So we went back there again. I was like, okay. I didn't mind it. But he would thank God for that food and say, Lord, can't remember the exact words, but he would say something like this, we're going to eat something that most people in this world won't have the benefit of eating. And most people in this world didn't even have a food to eat, as in the ability to eat like we can have. You know, he's talking about how blessed we are. Amen. And sometimes it's a good reminder to us how blessed we are. You go to your cabinet and you open it up, and your pantry, and you open it up, and you're like, I have no food here. No, you got food there. You just don't want to eat that, right? You don't feel like the cereal. You don't feel like the pasta that's there. You don't feel like the beans. You don't feel like the rice. You don't feel like this stuff. You don't feel like that stuff. You open up the fridge. There's food that's in there. It's like, we got enough to eat. We got something to eat, right? We got peanut butter and jelly. I don't feel like peanut butter and jelly. That's us, amen? But you think about it. We are so blessed. We are so blessed, especially being Americans. God has blessed, but he daily loadeth us with blessing. And then look at this next verse. Well, I tell you, you want to talk about a verse that's powerful. Woo! In Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law. Woo, boy! And nothing shall offend them. Now, that word offend is defined as a stumbling block or cause to fall. a cause to fall or a stumbling block. God's saying that you can have great peace if you love His Word. Matter of fact, if you love His Word so much, the reality is you won't stumble. I'm going to say, preacher, how is that possible? Well, the reason you stumble is not because you're in the Spirit, it's because you're in the flesh. When you're in Spirit, you don't regret the mistakes you make because you don't make mistakes. It's when you're in the flesh when you make mistakes. But here it is, it said, great peace have they which love thy law. I remember my pastor, this was his verse, and he loved this verse. And his pastor before him told him, this is one of the great verses to memorize. Sometimes as a pastor, you have people that they'll tell you good and they'll tell you bad and they'll do all kinds of crazy stuff or say crazy stuff. But great peace have they that love thy law. Amen? Oh, can I tell you, God can give you peace. This world can't give you peace. Now, you have the peace with God when you get saved, but the peace of God can come and go. Amen? If you could be in the center of God's will or not in the center. If you're in the center of God's will, you can have great peace. If you're outside of God's will, you're not going to have peace. You could have chastening or whatever else. But you can have great peace if you love this book. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you don't have peace like you should. And maybe you're outside of God's will. And ask the Lord to forgive you to get back. And start having a love for this Bible. I mean, start caring for this very words of God. Great peace have they that love thy law. I mean, just start loving. Amen. It's not just reading, but it's applying it. I mean, if you really love something, you're going to apply it, right? Don't be like a mirror and say, oh, that's what it says, but then you don't apply it, right? And you leave and you forget about it, right? Apply it to your life. Great peace. Oh, can I tell you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Do you have great peace? Well, maybe it's because you don't love God's Word like you should. Amen? Maybe you're not applying God's Word to your heart like you should. Great peace. Oh, I'm telling you, that is a powerful promise that God has given us. And then look what he says here down 166 to 188. It says, Lord, I have hoped upon thy salvation. The word salvation, sometimes it talks about salvation as in giving us eternal life. And other times it talks about deliverance. I believe this is what he's, referring to as deliverance. It says, I hope for thy salvation, right? That deliverance. Maybe it's a trial that he's going through, or maybe he's referring to when God delivers him out of a sinful body. It says, and done thy commandments. Isn't it interesting when he says this? I have hope for thy salvation. That means he didn't have this deliverance yet, right? Whatever this deliverance, so maybe it's people persecuting him, or maybe it's the deliverance he's talking about being delivered out of the sinful body and to go to heaven. Well, he would want to paradise, but he would be in heaven now. But this did not come yet, right? He's not talking about salvation being a process or whatever. You have eternal life. But he's talking about this deliverance. He didn't get this deliverance yet. But he says, and done thy commandments. Miss Elma, he didn't sit there and wait and say, hey, whenever you deliver me, then I'll keep your word. He said, I'm keeping your word, and I'm hoping for that deliverance. How many times in their life, or how many times were people would say, God, you do this, and then I'll do this. Not David. Why? Because he loved God's word. Yeah, amen. He knew better, right? He said, God, I love you. And I'm hoping for, I'm looking forward to that deliverance. But it hasn't stopped me because I have already done thy commandments. Amen? He's done it. And now he's hoping. Amen? Folks, that's how it should be. It says, my soul has kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. He loved God's word. He kept them. Is in our heart their desire to keep the very words of God? He says, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. You know, David wasn't perfect. You know, if this book was written by David, right? David would have cut out a lot of things that was mentioned about him. David would have not have said, by the way, I'm the reason that, what's his name, died. What was his name? Do you remember?
Uriah.
Yeah, thank you. If I was doing a thing in my life, I'd be like, I'm going to get rid of Uriah. I don't want to put anything in there about Bathsheba committing adultery. Right? Oh, we're going to get rid of that one in my life. Right? I'm not going to talk about how I didn't take care of my son Absalom. Right? Or I didn't deal with my other son when he did. He raped his one daughter that he just kind of didn't do anything. No, I'm going to not talk about those things. I'm not going to talk about the time where I know that God would not want me to count the children of Israel and I did it anyway. No, I'm not going to record that. But this is the very words of God. Amen. God wrote these things down that we can learn from it. David wasn't perfect. But can I tell you, David did love God's word. Yes, there were times that David got his eyes off of God and he had scars from those times. But can I tell you, David had a desire for God's own heart. God looked down and saw David, and he saw a young man that had a desire for the things of God, and God says he's going to be the next king. Now, we're not perfect. When God looks down from heaven, thank God he doesn't see my sin, but he sees the blood of Christ. And I'm still sometimes amazed just thinking how God called me to be a pastor. I sit there and think, I'm not worthy. You know, if I go back and think of, you know, being a pastor, I was thinking, I can't do this, Lord. I need you. And I still need you, amen? I pray and say, Lord, help me with the message that's there. But one thing I hope in my heart I'll always have, and I know there's times I probably don't love God's word like I should, but I hope there'd be a desire that I love God's word. And I want to keep it. Is that us this evening? Do you truly love the Word of God? Is there a desire to keep it? Is there evidence to show how much you love God's Word? I mean, look at your life. If you really love God's Word, it'll be seen. It was seen in David's life where the princes, those in authority, persecuted him. Why? Because they knew. They could see it in David's life. They heard it in David's life. And they said, we're going to get this guy to get him to be quiet. What would it be said about us? Do we love God's word like we should? Think about that verse. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen? What peace you and I can have. If we would just love God's word like we should. Let's close. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, thank you for your many blessings to us. Thank you for this, how your word, your promises that you have given us. And I thank you for forgiving me. Lord, I am surely not worthy. Thank you for your forgiveness. And I just pray, Lord, that this would be encouragement to us tonight. Help us with our walk with you. And give us safety as we travel. In Jesus, your precious name. Amen.